When 10% of the 1860 voting population of any rebel state met these conditions, Lincoln said they could establish a state government. He would say reestablish a state government, and Lincoln promised that he would recognize that state government. The state government would have to accept emancipation, but Lincoln said he would accept what he called a temporary arrangement whereby freed black people would remain essentially a landless laboring class. This plan for Reconstruction was comprehensive and disarmingly simple. It demanded acceptance of the degree of emancipation in force as of December 1863. It allowed Southern states to enact labor laws that would keep black people in a subservient position and thus ease the transition from a slaveholding society to one in which free labor would be the rule. As Lincoln put it, he was seeking to cushion the shock of a total revolution of labor and thus enable blacks and whites to gradually live themselves out of their old relation to one another. It also provided for a smooth political restoration to full partnership in the Union, put into effect with just 10% of the 1860 voting population, and no harsh punishments for treason. It seemed a very mild set of conditions, especially when you add in the fact that confiscated property would be limited to slaves. Any other property that had been confiscated would return to the owners. Now, that's admittedly a big exception, saying that slave property would be set aside in a special category, but that wouldn't affect the vast majority of ex-Confederates, of course, because most of the men who fought in the Confederate Army and otherwise supported the Confederacy did not own any slaves. The big losers in this part of Lincoln's plan would be freed people who had managed to settle on confiscated lands before the end of the war and might see those lands taken away and restored to their former owners. Now, the areas where Lincoln's plan might have immediate effect were those parts of the Confederacy held by Union forces in December 1863. That is, almost all of Tennessee. The Union Army held most of Tennessee. Parts of East Tennessee were still indifferently controlled by the Union. Significant part of Louisiana, including the most populous parts. A big chunk of Arkansas. Considerable stretches of Mississippi. And key areas in Virginia, in northern Virginia and along the Virginia Peninsula. Those would be the main states where Lincoln could move rather quickly to try to implement his plan. He was an old Whig, remember? That had been his party before he joined the Republican Party. He'd had many Southern friends before the war in the Whig Party, and he was still at this stage of the war hoping that that old element of the antebellum political scene, the old Whig element, would rally to this offer of an easy way to get back into the Union. His 10% plan, he thought, would appeal to these men, and he hoped that the plan would spawn new civil governments in these states and would also tend to undercut the Confederate government's authority and power. He hoped that it, with an easy option for having all sins forgiven, enough white Southerners would come to the Union banner that it would significantly work against the Confederacy's ability to wage the war, bring over a lot of people who either had been loyalists all along or who had been on the fence for part of the time, bring them over to the Union side and deny them to the Confederacy. So that's Lincoln's plan. It's out on the table in December 1863. And as you might imagine, it provoked quite a reaction from the radical Republicans once they found out about it. The radicals were not at all happy with what Abraham Lincoln was trying to do. Now, we've seen before that the radicals had a different agenda than Lincoln did in several respects. They wanted a better deal for freed people, for example, more guarantees, including land of their own, so they could support themselves economically once they were freed of the shackles of slavery. Lincoln's plan, said the radicals, leaves the door wide open for continued oppression of black people in the South, this business of keeping them essentially a propertyless laboring class is terrible, they argued. The radicals also vigorously opposed the leniency of the political terms. They said 10% of the 1860 population, that's not nearly enough. What does that really give us? That's a tiny toehold, certainly not enough to warrant building new state governments on. That's just not enough people, they said. We would need to have more people than that. Moreover, argued the radicals, or at least many of them, the South was guilty of treason. Treason.